Today, you know how you have, I don't know if anybody has had made plans and then the Lord changes your plans and you go do something else. And so I had some ideas about what I wanted to do today, and the Lord seemed to not be very interested. And so then I said, well, what is it, Lord? And it just kind of came together like this. Everybody say these words. The fruit of pain.
Fruit of pain.
You go ahead and say, ouch.
Ouch.
The fruit of pain. The Lord has told us in the Word not to waste our sorrows. Not to waste the things that are hurtful to us. And you're going to have some pain in life. So I want to start, if you have your Bible there, electronic device with the Word of God, let's go ahead to Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I also want you to know this. It's very important these days to be reading your Bible, because there's a lot of goofy stuff and weird things out. And if you want to walk with the Lord, the beautiful thing about the Lord is if you choose to be His and walk with Him, His light will make your way clear according to His Word. He will make it clear. He will mend you. He will help you along in life. He'll convict you. How many of you knew conviction of sin is important to walk with Him? We can be blind. How many of you had some point of blindness where other people were affected by your lack of having it together? Have you ever been affected by somebody else's, right? And so the Lord wants to bring us into the light and make us into His image. Everybody say, Jesus' image. So the whole concept of the Bible has to do with the revelation of God, and then man messed up, and God redeeming man to Himself through the shed blood of Jesus. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Through the dynamic power of His Holy Spirit, and through the clarifying of who we are to Him, what our unique identity and His destiny for each of us is. And He has a destiny for your life. He wasn't going, why did I make them now? Let's see, wonder what good were they? He doesn't think like that. He actually planned you with specific gifts and things, and as they're handed over to Him, and you start to walk in that way, He begins to cause something to happen in and through your life for the blessing of other people. I want to say pain is involved in that. Can you imagine going to the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you want to preach on? Pain. You got any other subjects? The fruit of pain. Oh, okay. Actually, I had another subtitle altogether. It's called The Pathway of Fruitful Brokenness. That was like disguising it. Let's go ahead and look at verse 27 of Philippians 1. We'll just go all the way down to chapter 2, verse 11. And I was going to start a little earlier just with chapter 2, but then you know how the Bible just makes... Just tune in to this. Tune into this. Listen to this. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that Paul's saying, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Now listen to this. And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that of God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake. Doggone it! Why do we have to suffer for His sake? We're Americans. We believe in the American dream. All you got to do is get more stuff. No. If you're walking with Jesus, there will be this involved. By the way, that particular word, suffer, it just means to be affected or have been affected to feel or have a sensible experience to undergo. In other words, you're going through this and it makes sense because you're walking with Jesus and things that happen to Jesus will happen in your life. Engaged in the same, and there's another word, conflict, that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. And the word conflict there means stadium or a contest. In other words, in the grand battle of life, you're involved. Okay? Now, he says, so, verse 1 of chapter 2, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being, everybody say, of the same mind. Of the same mind. Having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Would you say this with me? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And here we see he's saying, I want you to have a certain mindset. I want you to think about what Jesus went through and you become like him. He's already given you this spirit of his mind. He's given you, when you come to him, he's given you himself. How many of you know growing to be like Jesus is a real journey? How many of you feel like, well, the way I am is actually the opposite of the way Jesus is? It's just, I want what I want when I want it. And God says, well, we'll see. And you go, well, it was working fine before I gave my life to you. But he has a whole different idea about what your life is going to be. It's going to be his. When you give your life to the Lord, you're his now. We want all the benefits without the participation. I want to be the middle of my universe, and if you don't jump up and down when I say jump and down, I'm going to be mad. How many of you know pain enters in? And that's what we're talking about. There's a fruitfulness that can come from pain. All kinds of pain, physical pain, emotional pain, relational pain, financial pain. What is the role of pain? One thing for sure, and you're not going to get away from this. There's one thing. Do I have another line in there before that? Oh, no. Go ahead to the next one. I'm sorry. There it is. What is the role of pain? This is the thing, and there's no getting around it. Pain is going to enter your life. Is that right? How many of you have heard the gospel spoken of in such a way that God's going to make all your dreams come true? I've heard people say, you're going to have a country club anointing. God's going to give you a lot of money. Everything's going to be fine and dandy. There's going to be pain. Jesus said, in this life you'll have tribulation. Tribulation means pressure. Pressure, pressing, things pressing on you. How many of you have things pressing on you? How many of you get up every day and there's something? Or you get up in the morning and it's like all of the pressures are at the end of the bed going, hi. We're here to greet you before you've had your coffee or tea or anything. Is that right? And your submission to the Spirit of the Lord, just like Jesus, not have unbroken fellowship, is a great thing. So there's pain. There's no getting around it. Pain's going to enter your life. So I believe you should make some decisions ahead of time. I started imagining it in my commitment to Jesus. I started imagining what would be the worst thing that could happen. would I still love the Lord? I know people who've gone through the worst thing that I can imagine, and they love Him. Because you make a decision when you're in the midst of pain. The option of not dealing with pain through the grace of God is to succumb to bitterness, isn't it? How many of you know that's a battle? That's a battle, right? When pain happens, you got two options: grace of God or bitterness. Come on, let's go ahead and get involved with the message here. Because the Holy Spirit can shine a light into your heart and say, here's something I want to remove from you, because I want to, this next verse, I want to make sure that you don't fail to obtain the grace of God. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Go ahead and elbow somebody. I don't want you to fail to obtain the grace of God. Robert, I don't want you to fail to obtain the grace of God. Why? Because here's your other option. The other option is this. That, no, go back. No root of bitterness. Go back there. No root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. You meet them. I don't meet them as often, but you meet people on occasion, because I was one. They have a root of bitterness, a substantial root of bitterness. Bad things have happened, pain has happened, and it manifests in certain ways, and it influences people in certain ways. And when you're bitter, it eventually just comes out. Is that right? And you can see, go ahead and forgive me in advance. You can see where you need work when you say, when you do an inventory of the people in your life, and you think where you feel ill will coming up. Now, I have some people in my life that have done me wrong, but I have done something that the Lord taught me the pathway. He taught me to obtain the grace of God. And obtaining the grace of God means that I, and even recently, I have a greater revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful in its forgiveness, because I don't have any self-righteousness to stand on in front of God to blame somebody else for what they've done. You know where that all started, by the way? The blaming somebody else. Adam, where are you? Well, we hit ourselves because we're naked and afraid. Well, who told you we're naked? You know that woman you gave me? Point the blame, point the blame, point the blame. And then he goes, you're to fault because you gave me her. And so God's to blame. And I'm telling you, if God, everybody said, if God, you're so good, then why did this happen? That puts you at the middle of the universe. Let's ask it this way. Let's go ahead and flip it around and make God the middle of the universe. Why am I not dead today from the things I thought and did yesterday? How come I'm still alive? Because a holy God is in the middle of the universe and I'm what I am. How come I'm still here? So that flips it. Because we want to have all the control and all authority and tell Him what to do. But the book's about Him. And He's in charge. Aren't you glad somebody in the room here isn't? Oh, let's praise the Lord just for a moment. Let's just exalt Him for who He is, because He's supremely high and exalted. And because He says, I want you to have this mind among yourselves, that even though I was equal with God, I didn't consider that something to lay hold of. I laid that all aside. I emptied myself, and I became in the form of man, and then I humbled myself, became obedient to the Father to the point of death. And then I died. And now, He says, now on the basis of that obedience to the point of death, now on the basis of that, He says, I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to raise you up, give you a name that's high above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And Jesus is at the center of the universe, and He's at the center of His church, and He's the center of your heart, I pray. I'm going to just jump over to it. I get there later on, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I was deeply impressed by the Coptic Christian woman in Egypt who ISIS killed her husband. And she said, "He's in the presence of Jesus. And he's where I want to be, and I will meet him someday, being there with him." This is amazing, because this is making a decision ahead of time to walk in a root of bitterness. What's the worst that could happen? If that happens and is taken away from me, does it mean it's going to be easy? It's not a quick decision to work through levels of pain. Grieving has stages to it. There's a lot about us that if something very precious is taken from us, we must go through, right? Expectations that are unmet. All kinds of things that bring pain to the human soul. So you have a choice. This next slide. Do you want the pain or pressure to account for something? Do you want pain in your life to mean something? Now, if you're in charge of it and you go to the gym and work out and you're sweating and you have pain in your life because you're breaking down your muscles and building them up, yeah, you're going to get something out of that. But there's other things that happen with pain that you didn't actually control, that just happened to you. What if you were like me? What if your pain entered your life before you were grown up? And you were little and there was abuse and somebody beat you up and it's somebody close to you? What if you're molested when you're little before you can form your thoughts and know that it wasn't your fault? What if bad things happened to you like that, where things just begin to tear your soul apart? Can I tell you, there's still a pathway. There's still a pathway. There's still a pathway. Because I walk the path, and the Lord has taken He's made the fruitfulness out of my pain. He's taken the pains of my life, and look, it says, do you want to use it, the pain, for true life-giving transformation, or do you want to live bitterly and die from it? It's everybody's choice. Pain's coming to everybody. The gospel is the only source of what you're talking about. Divine justice. I'm jumping ahead. Forgiving is the most unnatural thing I've ever done, but it's the thing that's helped me the most. And I don't forgive on the basis of my goodness. I forgive on the basis of the one who forgave me. He is the power. He has the power to do it. He's the one that forgives. So do you want to be transformed by the pain that enters your life? You can choose. You can choose when the pressures come down, when the pressures hit, when you're assaulted, when you're eaten up with something. You can choose, which way am I going to go? Am I going to go to God or away from God? There was a movie one time I saw. I don't remember much of it, but it was about a doctor who was going over to somewhere in China or somewhere, and there were some nuns that were there. He was, because of what was going on, his wife commits adultery on him, it's all this thing, and he's in pain, and he goes to this monastery, whatever, this convent, and he goes looking for help, and the mother there at the convent, he's talking about God, and she says, we're not on speaking terms. She's got bitterness. She has an unmet expectation. She hasn't poured out her heart and wrung out her heart before God and said, help me in the midst of what's gone wrong in my life. Is any buyers in here? Anybody saying, I want to be better and not bitter, but I don't know if I want to go the distance? Because it's not easy. Christianity is not easy, but you are empowered to do it. So there's three profound truths that you will learn when your pain produces fruit. There's three profound truths that you'll learn. Just pause here just a second and think, can God turn my pain into something good? Has he done it before? At what levels has he done it? How have I participated with him in that? Today, I believe that the truth of what Jesus wants to do in somebody's heart will actually free them from fear. Praise God. Praise God. Free them from actual fear. Fear controls people. Fear and control are the same. They're the flip side. It's like heads and tails of the same coin. Yeah. A person who's fearful will control. Yeah. And they'll do it on their terms. And to let go of that and let God to be in charge, for some, it's a lifelong endeavor. Yeah.
to keep letting God have your life and doing it His way, it's a challenge, isn't it? Because fears can go very, very deeply entrenched. And the Lord wants you to know that His grace, let's put first slide, His grace is essential and it's more than enough for you. His grace is essential because in the pathway of, let me just say, Paul, in every letter, starts it. And he wrote most of the New Testament. In every letter, he says, grace and peace to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Paul was murdering Christians. He was a son of a gun. He was a bad boy. He was so religious and self-righteous. He was full of it. He was full of himself. He thought of so highly of himself. His pride was so great. He was doing Satan's ministry in the name of God. I heard somebody just say, happens all the time. Have you run into them? People who know truth but do not walk in the grace of that truth. See, the grace empowers us to literally live out the standard of the truth. Most people who are judgmental do not live the standard themselves. They don't have the grace of God. They just pound you with a judgmental, critical spirit. You can let go of that when you come to City Church because nobody's going to cause you, yell at you to come up to a standard that you can't live. But here's what we're committed to. Each person has a destiny in Christ. And as that truth of His love is revealed to you and the empowerment of that, He will convict us of what we've done wrong. And He will form us into, out of what we were, into what He wants us to become. But it comes through the grace of God. It comes through the grace of God. You will not hear, just try harder, try harder. You're failing, try harder. That's not the gospel. The gospel is, Jesus has done everything you need. Now, come to Him and let Him do it in you. He comes to empower you. He'll forgive you completely. He'll train you in the ways of forgiveness. He trained me in the ways of forgiveness. Paul, the reason he said in Romans, he says, now the law came to increase the trespass. Look at this. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Paul is writing out of his personal experience. He was a sinner and he was full of it and he didn't think he was. He says, where sin abounded, Jesus knocked me down and blinded me and caused me to come to know Him. And grace did much more abound. Oh, somebody praise the Lord right now. Don't leave me up here alone. So let's go. Grace, God's grace within us gives us the power to live the standard of His truth. He calls us to become something that we could never be in a million years. And you can try and try and try and never become it. And I've had these thoughts with the Lord, and then suddenly something that I thought was so important is no longer important. I don't know how He does that. And I've said in my heart, I want You, Lord, more than whatever. And He goes, I heard you. And we have an adversary who wants us to walk offended. He will always keep bringing people or do stuff or have stuff happen. And some of us, like I was in the past, I was a magnet to draw it to me. Until God did the healing and the things inside of me to where I quit becoming the magnet for the bad stuff. God can heal your brain. He can heal your heart. You will learn some things. You will learn what forgiveness is. You will learn that forgiveness is such an unnatural act because you don't want to forgive them. You want to cream them. You want to have call God's fire down on them. You want to somehow see them, something very, very bad happen. And out of your pain, you will cry out to God for something very, very, send them to hell, Jesus. Is that right? Out of the self-righteousness of an unhealed heart, we will say the stupidest, dumbest things. And the Lord calls you and I to be a forgiving person. I mean, it's really a trip. Forgive others. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, I'll forgive you as you've forgiven others. It's tied to us becoming like Jesus.
It's two verses. The other one's up here. It says, forgive others in the same way that Jesus has forgiven you. Forgiveness is scandalous because it feels like someone is getting away with something. Doesn't it just bother you? How come they don't get to have to pay for this? Jesus says, because I paid for it. I died for their sin. I was wounded very deeply being a pastor. People had been very secretive and undermining the confidence of others in our ministry. And we went on as a blessing to them. And I remember being right here in turmoil because nobody ever said that they'd done anything wrong. And I was stuck. And the Lord already taught me this before, but I was stuck again. And do you know what he said? This is my precious, your precious Savior Jesus. He said these words to me. They sinned against you. Now go ahead and forgive them. There was no acknowledgement of the sin. And the Lord said, whoa, that's what you need because you've learned how to forgive. Let me just go ahead and tell you, from my point of view, they sinned against you. And I was released because now the forgiveness could flow. Man, I feel like just kneeling and worshiping right now because there are many of you in the room. People have done things wrong to you. And nobody's ever said they did it wrong. And I'm here to tell you in the name of the Lord would say to your heart today, they sinned against you. Now go ahead and forgive them. They did wrong. There's some of you, the Lord needs you to hear, my precious sweetheart, into your own soul, you've sinned against yourself. Now go ahead and forgive yourself. Allow the weight of the guilt or the torment of what that does to your heart come off of your heart and let the power of the blood of Jesus be the sacrifice. You don't have to sacrifice any more. He took it. He is your advocate. He is your mediator between God and man. Let's praise him just for a moment. Thank you, Lord. You just interrupted the message here to bring a healing grace into the room, and we praise you for that, Lord. Mend hearts as we go. Thank you, Jesus. Forgiveness is scandalous. Forgiveness is scandalous. The prodigal, the father comes running out, running down the road when he sees the prodigal that left and has already taken all of his inheritance, spent it, and daddy comes running, no condemnation, just sees him, oh, my boy's home, wraps his arms around him, swings him around, go, we're going to throw a party. Forgive the father's heart is so pure with love, changes you. I think we just need to pound this concept. Does Jesus need to do something more for you, or is it that you just don't know what he's already done? Because once you have the revelation of what God has done for you, you step into places that he's already prepared for you. It's scandalous how good God is. It's incredible and extraordinary that he sets you free, but he dies in your place. And he said, since I've already done this for you, how about you go ahead? Because I've paid their debt too. You just go ahead and join me in forgiving. And repent of being unforgiving. And repent for being embittered. The next verse, the next slide there, 1 Corinthians 15:10. This is Paul. This is amazing. This is worth a study and just a message all of its own. But by the grace of God, and Paul knows what he's talking about, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain.
He says, I'm not bitter. On the contrary, now watch this. He's so clever. I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. When you've been deeply wounded like I have, and people are involved, you might just turn and say, let your grace abound in me, oh God. Let your grace abound in me. Let your grace abound in me. Let me forgive with this. And you have to purpose your heart. God took me through 5 years of forgiving. When I discovered all the abuse, you know, you survive your childhood, and then you get later, and God says, by the way, you were abused. And you, oh my God. And then you start the process. It took 5 years of learning to forgive. And he trained me in the realm of forgiveness. Trained me in the realm of forgiveness so I could get better and get better and get better and get better. Get better. And he'd bring up another thing. Oh, you forgive that? Oh, okay. Oh, this formed your life wrong too. Forgive that one. Oh, forgive that. He showed me like it was my whole life was like a multifaceted diamond, and my relationship with my father had so many facets to it, and it affected my whole life and everything about me. So we're going to clean this facet now. Forgive, forgive, forgive. I learned how to forgive. I'm addicted to forgiveness. Because I had no time to be bitter. No time for that. They got no time for that. Now, let's go to point number two. Even though point number one just could go and go on and on and on. Point number two is God will cause you to benefit from the pain. He will actually cause you to benefit. And here's one of the things you'll learn. You'll learn intimacy with God. When you turn things over to Him and don't become embittered, you learn how to be intimately attached and intimately bonded and calling on Him. Because when you have something so deep and so hurtful and so terrible that's happened that's just blew you out of the water, it's going to take God and His grace to empower you. You're not going to get around that. And you'll veer off into bitter waters if you don't have Him. But then he'll say, I want to show you how it will actually work for your benefit. You got to be kidding me. That's going to help me out? Yes, let me show you how I'm going to turn you into Jesus. Amen. I'm going to work in your life and cause what happened to you to make you more like me. Give it to me. Surrender it to me. Hand it over. You learn how to repent. You learn the pathway. You learn how to repent before God for the things that you held on to that haven't helped you. You learn how to let go. You learn how to speak in blessing people that have been horrible to you. You learn the pathway of not only forgiving, which is removing the negative, you learn the positive thing about speaking blessing over those so that it fills up a force field. So I'm telling you, man, I've become so good by Jesus' grace because I've spoken so much blessing to the people who intended to hurt me. I got a big force field. I want good things to happen for them. I don't want their life to be ruined by the bitterness of their soul. The blood of Jesus will change you and give you a whole different perspective about your life. You know, can you imagine getting up in heaven? Now, Lord, you're going to deal with them? No, He dealt with us down here. Come on, get into what Jesus has already given you. Open to His healing grace, His freeing grace. He'll cause you to benefit from it. How many of you know that a little agitation of a piece of sand inside of a oyster's mouth will create, over a period of time, a pearl? How many of you have had an agitating thing in your life, and God says, it's here for something precious? It's going to be precious. It don't feel good right now. How many have had people around you who really feel like sandpaper? Have you had? A diamond. A diamond is a piece of carbon that's been put under tremendous pressure and temperature. Pressure, temperature, pressure, temperature, pressure, temperature. Boop, diamond. A butterfly. This is where we get the word metamorphosis. You're crawling around and you're in the dark. Now you're in the dark. You've been crawling around. Now you're in the dark. You're all alone. If anybody helps you, you'll never fly. If somebody helps you out of the cocoon, you'll never fly. You got to fight your way out. Oh, wow. Somebody's in a cocoon right now. Somebody's in a cocoon. I don't know who, but the Lord highlighted that. Somebody's in a cocoon right now, and you got to fight yourself out of the darkness, and you're going to fly. You're going to fly. and you don't determine when the cocoon times come. I just want you to know, when God wanted to promote David, he sent Goliath. When it was time to promote David into the next level, a giant showed up in front of him. I want you to see the pain that comes into your life as a promotion. See the pressures as a promotion, all right? This is called biblical thinking. Jesus says, have this mind in you that was in me, for I was equal to God, and I didn't take that as something to be grasped, but I emptied myself of me. And I came in the form of a servant, and then I submitted to the point of death. What point of death is God saying, die to that? Die to that. Die to that. And then God says, oh, now I'm going to raise you up. And you're like, how did I get through all that? How did I become this? There's joy in my life. I didn't do it on my terms. I did it on his terms. And there's release. I want to tell you, there's relief. Because there's nothing. Well, let me get into the next part here. Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means oil press. That's what the word means. And there's olive trees there. There's olive trees. And I have been there. And there's still a little grove of olive trees. And this is where Jesus went through the oil press. Because his human will rose up because of the nature of the horrible suffering that he was going to endure physically. And he prayed, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. How many of you say, oh God, not my will, thy will? How many times, Lori? Oh my God, you can't lose a child and not have to go through that. You can't lose a loved one and not go through that. You have to keep yielding and keep yielding in a season of not my will, but thine be done. You go through the oil press. And what happens when you crush the olive, the oil comes out. And there's anointing. There's fruit from your pain. Because when you go through it and God has crushed what's in you, there's an anointed life that comes out that the Holy Spirit can use in the lives of others. Joseph is the last one here. And Joseph was the one who had a vision, and then it all went south. And his brothers, if there's anybody qualified to be really bitter, it would be him. His brothers pretended they killed him and sold him off into slavery. And he ends up in, and then he does the right thing by not, you know, fornicating with Potiphar's wife, and she blames him for doing it anyway. And then he runs off, and now he's in prison. And it goes by and goes by. And there's this time when he almost gets out. And then God leaves him in there 2 more years. Listen to this verse in Psalm 105, 17. Somebody may need to write this down. But this is a little passage in Psalm 105. And it explains his life. It says, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Listen to this. His feet were hurt with fetters, and his neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. God says, I want you to do this, and then you go on this detour that is nothing but pain. What in the world went wrong? You see, there's the prophetic and the promise. And most forget about the process. We're going to go through a process to get you to become what you have to become through. God says, you're going to be this, and it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen the way you think. You're going to become along the way what I've intended you to be. Watch this now. After it says he tested him, then it says the king sent and released him, the ruler of his people sent and freed him, and he made him lord of his house, ruler of all of his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. God said, I have something for you, Joseph, but you're not fit for it yet. I'm going to walk you through this process, and then I'm going to place you over the whole land.
Sometimes the intensity of the pain determines the height of the authority. So if you're really going through it, God's really working to produce something for His glory. Come on, let's praise the Lord and receive that. Receive that. If it hurts bad, it's going to work out really good. If it's just devastating, it's going to be mightily anointed. And here's the last point. Others are going to be benefited from your transformation of your life. Others will be benefited from the transformation of your life. Man, I'm going over here. Just two verses. So I'll leave these two. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. Next slide. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. I want to end there. Let's stand together. The Holy Spirit's been active and at work in the room and in our hearts. Let's lift our heads, folks. Because the Holy Spirit has been like a searchlight today, and He's been searching our hearts. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. There's conviction. Conviction leads you to freedom. Condemnation pushes you away from freedom. There is no condemnation. Lift our heads before the Lord. Say, Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. And the healing grace. It is my choice not to be bitter, but to be a forgiving person. I ask now that the power of your blood come and forgive me and wash me from all bitterness. It is my choice to receive the Holy Spirit and to live above the pain. Walk me through it, Jesus, for your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's come on forward. Come on forward and receive ministry. Praise the Lord.